She's already away.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Hello and welcome to The Cute Life, episode 51. We're back. I forgot that I didn't announce what number the podcast was anymore.
That's quite
good.
That's
how long it's been. It's been since October since we recorded the last one.
But that's quite good. If we started on 51, that makes it seem almost like that was an intentional break.
Yeah, series two, guys, or yeah, three. So how many breaks have we had?
So now we'll go to 100 and then we'll stop again randomly. That's when we'll have the next child.
Yeah. So we've had a baby since the last one. Who is?
Crying lightly in the background.
Yeah, you might be able to hear her grumbling in the background. We were hoping she was fast asleep, and then of course she's just like Tova, that as soon as we start talking in the podcast she starts deciding that she wants our attention. So we'll see how this goes, but I might have to run off and her up in a minute.
It's just a bit of light gurgling.
But we're back, but more tired than the last one, so sorry if we make no sense, but we do have a newborn child, so that's
Part of the reason that we sort of slowed down on doing it before is because we were in lockdown. So there wasn't really much to talk about.
Yeah.
And so we can't, I think, like, sort of, we didn't really say it, like, decide it, but like it was sort of a thing of like, well, when stuff's happening again, maybe we can start.
Yeah. And then
now we're still in lockdown.
So we're in a worse lockdown than
a stricter lockdown. There's less to do.
It's absolutely ridiculous. So that's why it's been so long. And then, yeah, we've had a child, so that's quite, yeah. It's a little bit time consuming.
Yeah, but that's only the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what our excuse before. No, that's my making up the lockdown excuse.
Okay.
For prior to the baby.
So
now we're enjoying the, when it was lockdown one and everyone said, well, at least this isn't in winter, imagine how depressing that would be.
Oh, hello! Now we're in
Little did we know we'd actually get to test that out.
It's been horrific. Well, it hasn't been so horrific for us because we've said we've had a baby about 10 times already.
No, but what I mean is that's a good distraction, isn't it?
Yeah, no, totally. And we wouldn't be doing much or going anywhere because we've got her, so it hasn't really made much difference to us, and it's been quite nice just being just us two with her. And I think what most people say when you have a baby is that you just get inundated with visitors all the time, and then you're really tired because you're not getting enough sleep, and the house is a pigsty and people keep dropping in, so it's all really stressful. So we haven't had to deal with that while this has been happening, so that's a little silver lining. Although it's been kind of sad that nobody has been able to see Marcy when she's like been really tiny.
No.
But yeah, we're getting on all right over here. How are you enjoying fatherhood, Ollie? Tell everyone. Has there been anything that has surprised you about fatherhood? What's your favourite thing about fatherhood?
I think the most surprising thing is the fact that your baby is a time machine that makes time go forward at an insanely fast rate.
That is true, yeah.
Before we had her, everyone was saying, you won't have time to get anything done. And I was just like, well, it's like, how can she be so time consuming? It's like, yeah, surely she's like a puppy, but that just can't run around.
Yeah, because everyone said to us, right, you know, get some takeaway meals because you're not going to have time to make anything to eat. And me and I kept saying to each other, how is this little thing going to be so time consuming that you can't even make a bowl of pasta? And then now we've had her, like, literally, I do the ironing or something and it takes me like 5 hours because I'm constantly like putting it down, going to see if she's all right, feeding her, does she need changing, she wants holding, and she is so time consuming.
But in quite a weird way where it's like you don't really, I don't know, you don't feel like rushed off your feet. It's not like a like intense like
no
busyness where you're like, oh my god, I can't get anything done. It's just like everything just sort of has slowed down, and then suddenly your day, like, there's so many things we've done where we're like, we just need to like pop to the supermarket, and then you say that at 9 a.m, and then by the time you get back from the supermarket, you're like, well, we should just have a glass of wine now because it's 6:00.
Yeah.
And you're like, how did that happen? And it's just everything slowed down. But again, like, doesn't really matter in lockdown, does it?
No. And she is.
And you're not meant to go anywhere anyway.
No. And she is also just the fact that she keeps changing so quickly, I think, is also like another, I don't know, I was saying to Ollie, she definitely makes children make you live in the present like nothing else, because you've just got this like visual reminder all the time of just how quickly things go by. Hence why I haven't bothered doing any work. Everyone keeps asking me if I've done any painting yet, and I'm just like, no, because I mean, when am I ever going to get this chance to sort of like just do nothing again and just enjoy my baby? I'm not, so I'm just relishing it.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing some drawings late at night.
Yeah. Holly's desperately trying to stay awake with her.
But yeah, so that's been quite good. But yeah, I think very hard to do. Like, it's quite nice doing a bit of like drawing in the evening, just like in a sketchbook that you're never going to show anyone. The idea of trying to actually do like a completed, like an artwork completed at this stage, I think would be...
Oh, my paintings are so time consuming as well. I could see I'd start something and like 2 weeks later it still wouldn't be finished. So I don't know, we'll see. I kind of had in my head like after 3 months that I'd then start thinking about painting. And I'm already sort of like getting the little itch to go get back. We've been making little model houses together, me and Ollie. Well, Ollie's been making them. He does most of the hard work, and then I do...
As usual, I do the half graft, thin sweeps in at the end for the glory.
And I've been painting them, which has been really nice. Like, doing something that's like in a completely different medium, that's been like really refreshing and lovely. Yeah.
I think it's just satisfying as well. It's a bit like doing like a jigsaw puzzle or a, I don't know, some like little crafty kind of thing. It's like, you just do it and then you get this completed object quite quickly. I think that's it. It's like speedy, isn't it?
Not like my puzzle.
Not like actually doing a puzzle.
I bought a 2,000 piece puzzle. You might have seen it on Instagram. It was very beautiful. It had shells all over it. And I got it because I was like, I just want something that's going to be really like, you know, keep me occupied, but just something that's just I'm doing purely for the fun of it, that is...
Well, I feel like everyone goes into quite a puzzly mode at Christmas.
Yeah.
For some reason, Christmas brings out the puzzling.
It does. Well, your family, well, all of our families have got ridiculously into puzzling for some reason.
But I think that's quite a normal thing, isn't it?
Christmas puzzling? I think so, but Christmas puzzling. But my puzzle, I ambitiously ordered a 2,000 piece one, and then it absorbed my entire life
and kitchen.
I gave up our dining table. We just couldn't use for like 2 weeks. It took me 2 weeks, not even joking, like full day's work, like every single day. I'd come downstairs, I'll just do a bit of like an hour of puzzling, then like at 5 p.m.
when at the same time I was heat gunning, sanding and repainting our staircase. So at 9 a.m, I would start doing that and Finn would start puzzling, and then I'd come back like downstairs, see how Finn was doing at like 5 o'clock, and she'd be like rubbing her back and her eyes, being like, what a day in the office. And I was just like, are you actually serious?
It got to the point where it's actually like felt like hard work. It felt like I'd done a day's like actual hard labour.
It is funny because at the beginning it's really fun, and then by the end it's just like, we just need this.
I need to have this done so I can get my life
like,
back.
There's no joy in it anymore. Yeah. Just like, get the pieces in. Smashing them in.
They'll get me entertained along with, I had Marcy in her little chair next to me, and I'd just bounce her with my foot and then be putting the puzzle pieces in with my hands. As opposed to my feet. I don't know why I just said that. I'm quite tired.
It's good to explain what body parts you do different things with.
And what is your favourite thing about being a dad, Ol?
I think it's quite hard to put like a pinpoint on one bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the best bit of being a dad is probably finally really getting into barbecuing, wearing white trainers, I'm going to start like sowing seeds of mowing a lawn.
Oh yeah, he is actually going to start. He is going to do that.
Yeah, I think you're just embracing dadhood, really.
You need to get some of those trousers, you know, with the zips at the knees, that you can zip them off and make them into shorts.
Yes, exactly.
With the big cargo, are they called cargo pants?
Yeah, like cargo shorts.
Yeah, with the big pockets on the side.
What do dads keep in those pockets, I wonder? It'll come naturally to me.
Nappies.
Nappies, just hundreds of Just probably nappy bags.
Yeah.
They just do hundreds seem to be of everywhere. Them.
No, my new thing is breast pads. I just, Ollie finds breast pads everywhere because I just fling them out my bra and then they're just, yeah, everywhere.
Well, Finn does an incredibly annoying thing with her contact lenses where wherever she is, when she's done with them, she just takes them out and just puts them down next to her. So you're like on every like side table, coffee table, bedside table, there's always, and because they like dry into these,
dry.
Like, tiny little like see through seashells and then you just sort of crunch and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So these are the new that.
Yeah.
But really, I think, I don't know. It's just the most surreal thing in the world, just having a baby.
Yeah.
Do you feel like a child?
Yeah.
As a human.
Yeah, you really do.
You don't feel like you're grown up enough to have a child.
No.
So I think just...
And also it's like the intensity of it, like...
Cause... You asked me what the best bit is. The best bit isn't the intensity.
No, true.
That's the worst bit.
But I was just going to say, like, that you go from... I had a really good birth, by the way. It was all great. All went to plan. I had a water birth. It was magical.
Very hippie.
It was, like, the most amazing thing I've ever done. It was so empowering. Like, I felt like a superwoman afterwards. But you, like... I was awake for, like, literally, like, 24 hours. Mm. And then you go from doing the most physically hard thing you've ever done in your life to then having... this tiny weeny little newborn baby that you don't really know what to do with.
Yeah, I think they really need to set up a system where you have the baby and then you go for a spa weekend.
Yeah.
And you just stay in a really nice hotel for like 2 nights.
Have a really good night's sleep.
I don't know what they do with the baby at this in
my I don't know
idea.
Either, but
maybe you can just stay at the hospital.
Yeah, the midwives look after yeah. them for like a day or two and then you come back, you're all refreshed and you're like, right, I'm ready to go now.
Yeah.
Give me that baby.
Because I think it's mean that you have to go straight into it.
Oh God, it is hard work.
It's like if you came off a plane from going somewhere and had to go straight to work without getting to go home.
Yeah. That.
Like, that's just cruel.
That's quite the analogy. I was going to say my cute thing.
Yeah.
Shall I go straight into my cute thing?
What a seamless segue.
I'm very tired. Yeah. This might be mental, this whole podcast episode. Just
I'm sure I'll be fine.
Makes no sense. Is a bat. Ollie knows all about this anyway because he sent it to me. It's a 33-year-old bat called...
That's old.
Yeah, called Statler. And it's an Indian flying fox who lives at the World Bat Sanctuary in Weatherford in Texas. And he is arthritic and has various injuries, so he can't fly anymore. So the staff at the sanctuary fly him round while they hold him up and so he can flap his wings like he's flying and then walk him round the sanctuary. So he
I think they
little...
said he's only got like one working eye so, as well, so like he really can't fly. But yeah, it's so cute because they just like hold him up, kind of like in The Lion King when he holds up Simba.
Yeah.
And then they just like patrol around the the corridors and he like flaps his wings like half-heartedly.
Yeah, he's so cute.
Like when you hold a dog over water and it thinks it's swimming.
No, I'm just thinking like a little old man, like, you know, how old men walk. I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, this sort is... of stagger around.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's so cute. And they give him like fruit salads as well and he's just lovely and there's a little video of him.
But
so...
in the video they say, oh, and he loves a fruit salad. And then they put his head in the biggest bowl of fruit salad I've ever seen. I'm like, is that a day? Because surely, like, you don't want day-old fruit salad. You can't be getting through that much.
Yeah, maybe he shares it with all his elderly bat friends at the care home.
I don't know. It just seemed crazy to me. It seemed like a staggering amount of fruit.
It's just wasted from all the sugar.
Yeah, all the fermented fruit salad. But yeah, it's very cute. The video is definitely worth watching.
Yeah, it's very sweet. So I'll put that in the show notes. Feel like everyone could do with a little bit of happiness during lockdown. I hope everyone's okay and not too depressed. It's all just very boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't even go to the supermarket really for entertainment because obviously Marcy, so Ollie goes. And so I'm just like literally just in the house all the time. I barely leave for a walk these days. So.
Well, it's just such a falava. And then it's like, it's not even like it's really nice weather, so you don't really feel like there's much point to like all going out.
No. It's like, well, we tried to go out that time where we piled everything into the car eventually, it took us like an hour to leave. Then you get like, get in the car and you get all the pushchair and stuff out when you get there. And then we got out at, we went to a beach and we got out and it was just like the ice, cold wind hit us in the face. Like,
it's at Pet Level Beach and they've got like one of those, like, you sort of walk up, they've built like a wall, I guess, to stop the sea coming in. And then you like walk up a ramp. So we were like, it was cold, but it wasn't that bad. And then we walked up this ramp and then just got the wind. Sea breeze. And we
were like, oh, God. Oh,
fuck this.
Literally. So it took us like an hour to get out. And then we drove there. And then as soon as we got onto the beach,
it was like less than 4 minutes.
Yeah. Like, honestly, it was hell. So we just got straight back in the car and I vowed never to leave the house again.
Came home, put the heating on. No need to ever leave again.
What I was going to say is that while we've been in lockdown, obviously we've not had anything else to do. So we've done a lot of watching TV and things and films and whatnot, haven't we?
Yeah.
So I recently was going to suggest to everyone, It's a Sin.
You loved that, didn't you?
Oh my flip, I loved it so much. Russell T Davies, who did... Queer as Folk, and I think he did 6 Feet Under. I keep saying this, but I am not entirely sure. I don't think he did. I'm not sure. Ollie's going to look it up now.
I'll quickly look it up. I know he did those... He did some other programmes for Channel 4, which I keep telling Finn about, because they were advertised very heavily, but she has no memory. Called Cucumber...
I literally have no memory of this. Tofu. No, I've never heard of this before in my life.
Not Tofu. Similar kind of name. But Finn did the thing where she said, because it's on each Friday night, but then obviously they put it on Channel 4 so you can binge watch it all in one go if you want now. So she was like, well, we've got nothing to do in lockdown, so I'm going to save it and I'll watch it each Friday night and it'll be like my special treat. I think you lasted two episodes
and then I was like, I just want to watch the next one.
Watch it all.
But it was so good and pretty sad. It's all about the sort of rise... Is rise the right word of the AIDS epidemic and the sort of gay scene in the 80s and about these boys and moving to London and sort of coming of age and exploring their sexuality freely for the first time because they're away from their parents in these sort of stifling family relationships and stuff. And it's just like great. It's really like heartwarming and funny, but like so, so sad. And yeah, I think just because we used to live in London and I've got quite a few gay friends, it kind of just always hits quite close to home and like makes me very thankful that we live nowadays and that we weren't experiencing that, because it just must have been so terrifying, like all of their friends dying around them and not really knowing why or thinking, oh God, could it be me next? And yeah, it's just so scary.
I don't know if it was intentionally released at the moment when it is... when we've got coronavirus, or if that's just a coincidence. But I think it was, I think it made it a lot more, it was easier for you sort of to get your head around as an idea of like this sort of invisible disease that's scary.
Yeah.
Because I think prior to this, you know, that's never been something that's really ever affected the majority of us. So you sort of, I don't know, when you sort of think about things like that, you're like, well, how didn't they make that connection? How didn't they know how it was passed around? Like, because when you look at that kind of stuff with hindsight, it always seems very obvious. But we're literally in the moment going through an invisible disease that we sort of know how it gets spread around. But then, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, they were saying, oh, don't touch things in shops. And now they seem to have given up on that. So
exactly.
Obviously they changed their mind on that.
Yeah, it's so true. Because, yeah, in the programme where it sort of came about in America and they kind of were like, oh, well, that's happening over in America. It's not going to come over here.
Yeah.
And then it did. And the whole, like, they didn't know whether how you caught it. So, you know, quarantining them in rooms just to die on their own and... I mean, yeah, we kind of look at that like it was crazy then, but like, yeah, and I think if this, before this would have happened, it's kind of hard, a hard concept to get your head around, but pretty much exactly the same situation happened with coronavirus.
Yeah, I think there's
with...
just a lot of similarities that just sort of kind of make it more, I don't know if understandable is the right word. If I was less tired, I would know a better word. but bear in mind, there is a good word for the comparison.
we'll think about it and come back next week with it.
Just think of your own good words.
There you go. Better. We'll leave it blank for you.
And it's got a good soundtrack.
Oh, God, well, obviously, because it's 80s, and me and Ollie love 80s music.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cheating, because if you set something in the 80s, you've basically got a good soundtrack.
Gold soundtrack, yeah, definitely.
Is there anything set in the 80s that has a shit soundtrack? No, not really.
No, because, like, the cheesy pop is good, then there's also, like, the sort of indie, the yacht rock, which is great, new wave. God, there's just so much good stuff.
It's better than
tail end of punk as well.
Because imagine if you set something in like the early noughties, absolute nightmare for a soundtrack.
Rihanna.
Just
Britney.
Justin Timberlake. Just absolute shit. No offense, JT, if you're listening.
Oh my God. On that note, if you really enjoy watching early noughties stuff.
Yeah.
The Noughties programme that they did on the BBC. Oh, I was obsessed. It's so good.
I was just going to say, I don't know if that's actually as good as you think.
No, like, anyone my age would enjoy it.
I'm your age, and I'm saying it's not as good as you thought it was.
It's so good. I loved it. Because it was basically like, because it was the end of the decade, like it was this programme that revisited each year of the noughties and then just like did a roundup of like the films that were big then and the music and like the news stories, and it was just so nostalgic and great, and I bloody loved it. So I would recommend that.
Oh, it's entertaining.
I loved it. I look forward to it every single week, and I don't really have that with many other programs.
No. But I think that's like it kind of had that like Christmas telly vibe, didn't it, of like, you know, countdown programs like best music of the 80s.
Exactly,
it's just reminiscing.
Yeah, it's all nostalgia.
It's weird that we're so old that nostalgic TV is being made about.
I know. Well, that's what made me feel I was like, oh my God, I'm definitely a mum now, because I really remember my mum watching a similar program like This Is the 80s or something.
Like, oh my God, she's so old.
Well, just I remember like really remember it, and yeah, and thinking, oh my God, the 80s was forever ago, and now I'm doing the same with a noughties program.
The thing that makes me feel old is when they show footage of stuff that I remember from, like, you know, say something that was like live on TV that you have like a vague memory of, and like the quality of the footage looks so old and you're like, it's like blurry and shit, and you're like, wait, am I so old that like like it's almost like it's like you're watching things on like video, it looks so awful.
Yeah,
like, oh my God, that's like how old I am. That's they didn't have the technology to record things well.
I know. Well, what were you saying the other it must have been us, because I have no one else to talk to.
Tova was reminiscing the other day.
we were saying about like videos and the fact that like I can't believe that we used to like tolerate watching things on video, like the sort of blurry, the fact it like they used to get dirty, didn't they?
You said, when
big blob
them, they
yeah.
would just like
bounce. Yeah, they used to bounce, like, and it's just crazy to me that we used to just think of that as normal and totally accept that.
I just have such a like strong memory of us watching. We used to go and rent videos all the time. And then at the beginning of the videos, they'd show an advert for DVDs, which obviously was difficult. And it was always like, show like an explosion and then like a spaceship and then like all this kind of like, you know, like visually impressive stuff. And then they'd be like, DVD, this is all so good. And I just remember us watching it and being like, what? No one needs to watch it in better quality.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember, do you remember the start when you got a DVD player, when the fateful day that you actually got a DVD player? Did you have surround sound as well?
I
feel like your dad went in for surround sound.
Yeah, I remember we got a surround sound. Well, like, it was quite a passing interest for him. Like, maybe we did it like once. But I do really remember us buying it and then setting up, and it had like 9 speakers.
Yeah!
All with like really long wires, and then you dotted them around like the sitting room.
Yes, yeah.
And then watching the film and just not being that good.
Yeah, and do you remember at the beginning it was like a helicopter and it was like, and it went around all the speakers.
That was the only time
it
was good.
Yeah, exactly. And the rest of the film, you didn't notice the surround sound, but it was just when you turned it on that it did it. It was so exciting.
That's weird. Yeah, like surround sound just isn't like a
it's
thing
not
that people
a thing.
Talk about anymore.
No, and do you remember that, well, this is a more recent thing, but the craze for 3D TVs that lasted about 2 months.
Yeah, I think even when they were coming out, people were like, don't buy these. Yeah. This is a fad. They don't make, well, I mean, they don't make movies anymore because of Corona, but they don't really make 3D movies anymore, do they? Just don't think you really need to see things in 3D, do you?
I've got a film that, yeah, I'm going to tell everyone not to watch, The Dig. Because that was fucking shit, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to save you 2 hours of your life. Do not watch The Dig.
Unless you really like watching, if you ever like watching those like made-for-TV films that are on ITV at lunchtime, then firstly, you've got issues, and secondly, you'll love The Dig. Because it was just so
should have known it was boring. It was literally about an archaeological. Is that how you say it?
No.
Archaeological?
No.
Wow, I'm tired. No. You say it.
It was about an archaeologist.
No, you can't say it. That's why you're...
Wait, what are you trying to say?
Archaeological dig.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I did it. I did it, everyone.
You showed the
round
haters.
Of applause, please. Yeah, we should have known because it was about that. And what program has ever been? Time Team?
Well, Indiana Jones is an archaeologist.
That is true. Okay, I take that back.
And 3 out of his 4 films are good. So, you know.
Yeah. Another episode that I'm going to... Well, another thing that I'm going to suggest that everyone watch. And Ollie is sick to death of me talking... What am I going to suggest, Al?
Married at First Sight Australia?
Oh, no. But yes, that new series is on, and me and Ollie are knee-deep in that series as well, loving life. No, the reincarnation episode of Surviving Death.
I think if you're going to talk about this, you have to do it as a separate individual podcast where you just do it. Because I've heard you describe this episode so many times, and you've only watched the episode.
Oh, and Marcy's now crying because she's
heard about the reincarnation.
Her mummy talking about this so often.
Pause this and then we'll come back in a second.
Okay.
Right, we're back.
We're back. I've got a Marcy on me, so... Oh. Hello. Saying hello to everyone.
As you might be able to hear.
Yeah, she's nuzzling, so... Yeah, if you hear some squawks in a minute, that's her. But hopefully she'll be okay. She should be fine now. She's just having a little meal.
a little mid-pod snack.
Yeah, which we should really have had as well. She's got the right idea. Where are my snacks?
I feel like generally people do not appreciate people eating while they're...
Oh, God, it's my worst thing when people do voice notes to me while they're like mid-meal. I'm like, are you actually insane? Like, what are you doing?
I listened to a podcast and like the person was like chewing gum.
Oh no.
And like
I can just about tolerate someone drinking, that's fine. But like if you're like, if I can hear like your pizza rolling around in your mouth, no thank you. Or like if my friends voice note me while they're eating, I'm not polite. I'm just like, I can't even listen to that. It's so disgusting. Please do not do that. I'd rather not have a voice note from you.
Surely we have the technology now for our phones to just cut out them. Like, can't it just, like, differentiate between voice and eating and just cut out the eating sounds?
That would be good if you could, like, program your phone to, like, yeah, get rid of all the things that really annoy you. Like, if someone said, like, too many times, maybe, or something. I mean, that doesn't annoy me. I do that all the time.
Or if, like, someone emailed me, it could just delete it before I had to read it.
Yeah, perfect.
That's some good technology. Can't we implement that? That'd be sweet.
Sweet.
You were talking about your reincarnation program. Just tell people where to watch it.
Ollie, you can just go do the washing up while I talk about it again for the 1,000th time because I'm so into it. And I keep like...
This makes me sound like I'm against this program. It's a great program, good episode. But the excitement of Finn
honestly, it shook me. The program's called Surviving Death, and it's basically all...
It's on Netflix, isn't
it? It's on Netflix. It's all about life after death and exploring the idea behind it. Like, what first episode is about near-death experiences. Then there's another one on mediumship. There's another one on signs from beyond the grave, and another one about people seeing ghosts. And then the last one is about reincarnation. And to tell the truth, I was like... the least interested in that topic because reincarnation, don't really believe in it, think it's a bit bullshit, past lives and all that.
Plus you're quite scared of it.
Yeah, plus I'm quite scared of it because if it's true it means I'm going to be here for the end of the world.
Yeah. Finn's really focusing on the day-to-day issues in her life.
It's a concern. I think about it quite a lot. But this episode was just, oh my, I could not get over it. It was mad. So it's, I really like this program because it's not really like, I mean, it's more coming at it from a sort of scientific point of view and exploring it, like the psychology of it, and like it interviews scientists who have actually studied it for years and years and years. And this guy they interview, he has studied past life accounts from children for like 20 years or something. And he talks through a couple of like the most interesting cases, and it is just astounding, is it not?
Yes, it is.
I'm quite aggressive with this program with Ollie.
No, because what's interesting about it is it's got that sort of Derren Brown kind of thing where they say to a child, "What do you remember?" And then they reel off all these facts, and then the investigators go and find out the person who this child is talking about,
and like corroborate
the evidence. And with some of these kids, it's just like they're getting so much right about, like, you know, some actor who died in the 1940s or something,
and they're like four,
and they're like a four-year-old child,
and you're just like, how on earth can you know this? And a lot of this was like pre-internet or like very early days of the internet, so it was very difficult to get hold of this information.
But also the people that they're saying they were, I mean, I use, like, there is one that was an actor, but he's not a well-known actor. He wasn't in loads of stuff. He's not like I think if you Googled him, you wouldn't find out nearly as much information as they found out by sort of diving deeper into it and looking at, like, because they go and find like the guy's like birth certificate, death certificate, all that kind of stuff. Every certificate you have, basically. but yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth watching. It's interesting.
It's so interesting.
Because, yeah, it's that good thing where it genuinely is like unexplainable.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, you know, when you see like psychics or mediums on TV, you know it's bullshit because there's the tricks they can do to, like,
mm-hmm.
make it, you know, say what they need to say that's, like, ambiguous enough.
Well, like, researching people on the internet and cold reading.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff, which is obviously, like, bullshit. The medium episode was actually really funny because there's this, like, medium on it who I believe is Dutch, I think. So she's got quite a strong accent, and one of the spirits that comes through her is a little English boy called Tommy, and her accent is just hysterical, and she puts on a little boy voice, so she's like, "Hi, I'm Tommy," but like in a terrible English accent but with her Dutch accent like over the top. It is so funny.
It's just so weird, isn't it? Like,
and everyone's like taking it deadly seriously. They're like, "Hi, Tommy," and I'd just be like cacking myself if I was one of the people.
If I was a Dutch person, or if I was an English person who was claiming that I had a spirit talking through me, I'd choose one of the dead people who died that was the same nationality as me, just for ease.
Yeah, exactly.
Because say I suddenly tomorrow say I'm a medium. Firstly, unlucky for you, your life is ruined. but secondly, enough English people have died. I'd just be like, oh yeah, my spirit guide's a little English lad.
I'd be a Southern Belle.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
Right.
Or Australian.
Instantly. but please watch this program and then message Finn, not me, about it.
Oh my God, I could talk about it all day. I bloody loved it. I thought it was so interesting. And yeah, obviously, Married at First Sight, Australia. If anyone is watching that, please message me about that because I bloody love it.
I was going to say, though, before you move on to Married at First Sight, mm-hmm. you should see if there's any other programs about past lives, because that can't be the first one that's about it.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Because, I mean, to say you've enjoyed it would be an understatement.
I've literally told everyone I know to watch it. I loved
You're
it.
You're obsessed. Like, I literally wouldn't be surprised if, like, I walked into our bedroom and Finn had, like, photos on the wall pinning red strings between them, showing how everything connects.
I've never heard anything in such detail. I'd heard about people talking about past lives, but I hadn't heard about children. I think the children aspect is what really cements it for me, that I kind of believe it, because with adults, you know, like, they can bullshit and they have ulterior motives.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? They always have ulterior motives, and I think with when adults do it, it always tends to be they are reincarnated from someone that they want to be. It's always, you know, it's like when people are like, I was the Queen of England, and or like, you know, all this kind of stuff. And you're like, well, the likelihood is, if you're reincarnated, that the person you were was probably like a factory worker in Victorian England or
But these farmer. These children actually look like seemed genuinely like distressed by these experiences that they remembered, which was like, again, quite not validating, what's the word, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think it does validate what they're saying, because it's sort of like, if they're, or they just sort of seemed like, it's sort of, they weren't even really aware that they were doing it. They were just sort of, you know, like the one who's like, was that army pilot or whatever he was.
Yeah.
He was just sort of, he's talking about it so like offhandedly, like I don't think he even really realised what he was saying. It was sort of the parents that connected it all together.
Yeah. So enjoy, everyone. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
I hope anyone enjoys anything as much as you enjoyed that one episode. If you can find that joy in your life anywhere, congratulations.
Level pegging with being a mum.
What's your favourite part about being a mum? Watching the episode on Netflix about. But then Finn got freaked out that Marcy was going to say something when she's older. Like,
oh, can you actually imagine? It would be fucking terrifying. Or like my worst nightmare would be like me walking into her room and she's just talking to herself, and then she's like, and I'm like, who are you talking to? And she's like, the little boy in the corner or something. I'd just be like, no, I am getting an exorcist.
Well, I'm sure we've
where's my holy water?
We must have said this on the podcast before, but when we moved into this house, the lady we bought it off was like, well, you know, the walls of this house are filled with children's laughter.
Oh, God, no, because now if she says anything about hearing a child laugh, I'm going to die.
Which is, we knew, because we'd looked into the house before we bought it, that this house used to be a sweet shop. So that made sense. That's why it would have children's laughter. But she didn't know that we knew that.
Oh.
And out of context, that is literally the creepiest fucking
so
thing.
So creepy. Yeah.
I should have pretended I didn't know what she thought. I should have just been like, what? What the hell are you talking about? But she was mad, so I just wanted her to leave.
Yeah.
Didn't want to ask any questions.
She gifted us a springy caterpillar, didn't she?
She gifted us a lot of shit, we didn't know.
I think that's all of my things that I wanted to recommend.
That's your whole list.
Oh, other than I was going to recommend TV Priest as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which is a band that, well, Ollie's childhood friend is the singer, and they're just so good. Like, they're great. They're doing so well. Like, they were on Six Music. Steve Lamacq recommended their album, or is their album not out yet?
Their album's out on Friday, Friday.
Nice. Well, this is the perfect time to plug them then.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, I just think they're great. They're a bit like, how would you describe it?
I saw like they've reposted something on their Instagram that someone had described them as like post-punk dad rock.
Yeah, that sounds
good. I think
that's
like the perfect synopsis.
Yeah.
Also, who wouldn't want to listen to a band described as that?
Fantastic.
They should just make that their tagline.
Definitely, I would.
But yeah, definitely worth listening to that.
I'll post a link.
Post a link, Finn.
Maybe to, I'll do my favourite song, maybe. Out of them,
yeah.
Post them, yeah. Have they got any music videos?
Yeah, they got a few. They're quite good.
Okay, well, I'll post one of the music videos then.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, my next, the next podcast episode, whenever we next get around,
next October, yeah.
I put a thing on Instagram asking for podcast recommendations, because I listen to podcasts when I'm up in the night with Marcy, not terrifying ones, because it's obviously 3 a.m. and I get freaked out if I'm on my own. And I've been inundated with suggestions, so I've subscribed to them all, so I'm gonna have a deep deep dive into them, so I'll probably...
Into the world of podcasts.
Yeah, so if I come across anything really good, then I'll suggest that as well.
That'd be good, because all anyone wants who listens to podcasts is something like S-Town.
Yeah, oh, fuck, that was the best.
Like, I follow, like, the podcast Reddit page, and literally, like, once a day, someone's like, I just finished S-Town, what else is like that? And everyone's like, there's nothing else.
It's the best.
It was so good.
Yeah, so if you've not listened to that, enjoy.
I mean, if you
you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, so I guess we'll sign off here.
I think that was a very recommendation-heavy podcast.
Yeah, bloody it. Well, we've got literally got nothing else other than talking about babies, which everyone just says is really boring, isn't it? So
yeah, I think if you're going to do babies talk, you've got to do a separate podcast. You can't just turn your podcast into a baby podcast.
Well, I feel like that's something all new parents do, don't they? They, like, start a blog or something, like, because you're suddenly just, like, immersed in this new world, and you're like, I need to talk about this with everyone.
Yeah, definitely.
Everyone must know. And then you're just like, but everyone, yeah, who doesn't have a baby is just like, well, this is boring.
But that said, I try to find, like, a good podcast about fatherhood, like, new dad fatherhood kind of stuff. Couldn't find any good ones.
So don't you listen to one with three dads?
Yeah, but they just happen to be dads. Oh. They're not like, it's not a podcast about being dads.
Mm.
You just, if you have three dads, occasionally they talk about dad stuff.
Well, there's the I don't listen to any mum one. Oh, Marcy, that was close. She almost kicked the...
She's had enough of this podcast.
Yeah, they kicked the phone off the side. Yeah, I don't really listen to any mum... There's a lot of mum podcasts, but maybe that's a niche, a dad's podcast, so...
Yeah, I think it's just a difficult...
If anyone knows any of any dads...
Well, I don't need to listen to them now. It turns out it's actually easier than I was expecting it to be, so don't worry about it. Actually, comes quite naturally.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's why there aren't any dad podcasts. Because all dads are so arrogant that once they have the child, they're like, this is easy. Don't need to make a podcast about it.
Oh, okay, we better go, because Marcy is grumbling. Oh, no, she's falling asleep again. What an angel. What a little angel. But, yeah, hopefully we'll be able to record again. It will just be another list of recommendations and us chatting shit as usual. But
well, maybe we'll find like a creepy story again or something.
Yes, we'll be more organised. And yeah, try and find some creepy story or something for next time.
Or maybe even talk about something to do with art for once.
Yeah. Oh, actually, a couple of people did recommend art podcasts to me, so I'll give a couple a listen. But
find some good artists to recommend.
Yeah, but I'm not doing any art at the moment, so that's kind of, I don't really have anything to talk about in that respect.
Well, we could talk about how much we like not doing art.
It's quite nice having a break, I have to say.
All right.
Well, love you guys. Come and follow us on Instagram if you don't already, at Finney Elliott Artwork, forgot my own tag,
yeah.
And at Ollie Place.
Yeah.
Subscribe, tell all your friends about the podcast.
Message Finn if you have memories of a previous life.
Oh my fuck, yes.
Imagine if someone had?
Yeah, just make it up and tell me.
Yeah, she's easily pleased. And she doesn't ask for much evidence, so just send it in.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye. Bye.